So I want to try out my microphone. Loud enough? Okay. Now loud enough? Okay. All right. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here's my theme, two verses. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. I have been reading a series of books, the Poldark novels. I have 12 of them. I'm now in book 6. But I've been reading these books that were set in 19th century Cornwall in England, and that's the place where some of my forebears came, from which they came to America. And I've been real interested in how it describes life in those days, mining, the terrain, all kinds of things about Cornwall. But in one part of this story, it tells of Elizabeth, a woman who has been recently widowed. Now she's alone, and she is desperately seeking ways to provide for her family and her home. And she receives an offer of marriage from a man that she does not love. More importantly, she does not even like him. And the author tells us about the proposal, in which George lists all the things he can do for Elizabeth. Let's see if I can make this happen. No. That's you? Okay, well, good luck. Maybe I'll tell you when to change it, or maybe I'll point at you. George says, here's part of what George says. I'm not telling you the whole script here. I already have my own carriage. Again. You could have one also if you wanted it. Or two or six if it pleased you. I could take you to London and Bath and introduce you to society there, etc., etc. And so as we read along, we see Elizabeth thinking about this idea. And then the author interjects this very intriguing thing. The author says, "And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give to you." And the author knows, makes sure we know what he's saying as he adds, it had been one of the lessons read last Sunday in Saul Church, where Elizabeth sat alone with her son Geoffrey Charles in the family pew. Fascinating, because these are not books where the author interjects scripture. But this is a moment he sees of clear temptation for Elizabeth. Temptation does come to us. Sometimes it comes when we least expect it. It can make life a hard road. Once I visited a church member, an older woman who was recovering from a stroke. Ruth was in her 80s. She was quite limited in what she could do, but she was not limited mentally. On perhaps my third visit with her, she demanded an answer to this question. "Pastor, why would God lead us into temptation?" She was thinking, I think, of the Lord's Prayer, in which we say, Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I found myself wondering what this woman's temptations had been. Had she been tormented by some indiscretion she committed in her youth? Had she had a child out of wedlock? Had she stolen something from her little sister? Had she cheated on an exam in college? Or maybe there was something more recent. Had she taken someone out of her will because they didn't visit her often enough? Had she fired a caregiver who didn't respond quickly enough to her calls? Or was it just the temptation to do things that troubled her? Not that she'd actually done any of them. Not yet, anyway. I wondered. I still wonder. But maybe it wasn't anything specific or personal at all. Maybe it was just the idea that God would lead us, any of us, into temptation. Maybe in her prayers that very morning, she had been struck by the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." And she found herself wondering, why would God lead us into temptation? Or maybe Ruth just wanted to see how the new young pastor would respond to a serious theological question. And if so, I'm not sure how well I did on that test. Anyway, as we begin Lent, we are confronted by this story of Jesus being led into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. The temptation story is always the text for the first Sunday of Lent. That's this Sunday. And it is told in each of the three synoptic gospels. So each year you hear it from a different gospel. Today it came from Luke. But all three of those gospels say that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. So look at how they say it. Matthew says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Mark says, "And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan." Now, if you study Mark, you'll understand that Mark loves the word "immediately." So the Spirit immediately drove him out. And then Luke, as we heard today, says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by whom?" By the devil. Note that the gospel writers tell us two things. First, they tell us that Jesus was tempted by the devil when he was in the wilderness. Go one more. He was not tempted by God. He was tempted by the devil. But they also tell us rather clearly that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. Did the Spirit intend for Jesus to face temptations and to be tested? Or did the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness for a time of preparation and reflection during which temptation was bound to arise for Jesus? Imagine fasting, not eating for 40 days. The tempter will find fruitful ground after that. Well, I heard of a teenager who had studied this story in his youth group, and he went to his pastor to talk about the temptations of Jesus, and he demanded an answer. He said, "What if Jesus had given in to the devil? Would God have had to send another son? And maybe God did send another son. How many sons did God send that had already given in to the devil? Would we have not had a Savior at all? What would that have meant?" You see, that teenager took the story quite literally and quite seriously. That teenager understood that in the temptations, Jesus was really deeply tempted, challenged, shaken, as any of us would be. And that's the point of this story in the three Gospels. That's the reason we hear it in Lent every year. You see, the temptations were not easy for Jesus, and he might well have given in. Many of us do give in to temptation. I sometimes do. Perhaps you do. And it's not always about chocolate. But Jesus, who was going to walk a hard road, did not give in. So today we think about Jesus tempted by the devil in the wilderness, getting ready for a journey that is going to be a hard road. And what we know is he often will have no place to lay his head. He and his disciples will be dependent on others to provide for their needs. Maybe that wasn't as hard for Jesus as it would be for us, but we don't like being dependent. And Jesus is going to be overwhelmed by cries for healing and help that come to him from all sides. He's going to face opposition from the powerful. He's going to face betrayal from his own friends and disciples. He's going to face death on a cross. It is a hard road. What we know is that Jesus had to be sure, that Jesus had to be ready. Some years ago, I read a book about women in the military. The book described the incredible hardships faced by our soldiers, women and men alike, so that as they trained to serve our country, they would have to be getting fit, they would have to learn drills and eat meager rations and hike long distances carrying heavy packs, wearing restrictive clothes. When you think about the deserts in Afghanistan and Iraq, that just becomes powerful, doesn't it? Temperatures of 110 degrees or whatever. Wow. Soldiers, men and women, would have to be ready to face the danger and hardship and loneliness and fear. Their training has to prepare them for what they will face, even and including war. It would not be a kindness to allow our military men and women to go into hostilities without being prepared physically and mentally as well. So as we come into Lent, we have this opportunity to recognize the challenges and temptations that we must face because of our faith, and we must prepare for those challenges and temptations. How do we carry ourselves in a world that often pursues values unlike those of Jesus Christ? How do we respond when people treat us without respect, or when a relationship that was once really good now ends in an ugly and painful way? Or when we have to choose between painful, bad alternatives? How do we resist the lure of an easy life when it means living a lie? Maybe like Elizabeth, who does marry George. What about a middle or high school student who snubs his or her true friends in order to be popular with the cooler kids? Or wishes they could. You see, there is much in our world that troubles or challenges us, causing us to struggle with our faith and our life, and yet we are called to walk a hard road because that's what life often is. That's what faith often leads us to, a hard road. Certainly, the Christian faith calls us to stand against the easy values of our world, to be faithful to our promises, to speak the truth, to give respect to people in authority even when we do not agree with them, to honor our commitments even when the passion has gone out of it. We are called to walk a hard road because that's what life often is, and that's what faith often is, a hard road, a road fraught at times with temptations. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we sharpen our spiritual muscles for the long miles ahead, for the challenges we must face, for the questions we must answer? Well, I'll take a minute and let you suggest some ways. What are some ways we can prepare ourselves? Who has an answer to that? Scripture. Prayer.
Bible.
I was going to say 10:15 Sunday morning. Church. Prayer. Study of what the Bible says. Choosing dependable, faithful companions who can be models for us, encouragement for us. Faithful attendance at church where we can be lifted up and fed. I don't know that I answered the question that Ruth asked me as well as I might have. Why would God lead us into temptation? I think what I mainly did was take her question seriously and to join her in pondering what her question meant. What does it mean? When the scripture tells us and when the prayer tells us that God might lead us or let us be led into temptation. Maybe by taking Ruth's question seriously and join her in pondering that question, maybe that was enough for that day. But I think we too need to take some moments to ponder the temptations that we will and do face in our lives and to prepare ourselves so that we can be strong enough physically, mentally, and especially spiritually to respond to the temptations and challenges that will come to us as we live out our faith. I suppose above all, we pray these words, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us pray. Oh God, as we come into Lent, help us to be faithful in our times of prayer, to turn to Scripture, to feed and reinforce us for our lives, to surround ourselves with good and strong and healthy friends, to be faithful in our worship, that we may be prepared for the temptations that come not only in Lent but throughout our lives, not only in youth, but in the prime of life and in the years of age. Help us to remember that you are with us. We are not alone. We belong to you. In Christ we pray. Amen.